Well, good evening. Hopefully you can hear us there online. Yep, I can hear the volume there, so that's good. Glad to have you with us, whether you're on Facebook, on YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, and then welcome to our phone live streaming folks also. Be sure to comment on any of those platforms. It just helps to get the word out. But if you have any prayer requests, please do that over on Facebook Live. That's what we'll be watching for any live prayer requests. If you have access to the church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's over under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin there. Lots of upcoming activities. We've got a lot of things. I'm fixing to mention a few here in just a moment. You can also download the children's worship bulletins. You can send the links to either one of those to anyone. Invite them to come to church. We've got one for ages 3 and up and one for ages 7 and up. And then the prayer list is also underneath that link. If you need one of these in person, they're on the front pew, so please grab you one. If somebody comes in late, if you'll make sure that they get one. While you're there on the church website, go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there. You can do your regular online giving. Just click the down drop there on it, and it'll give you several options. You can do your regular budget offering. You can do your offering to the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions. Want to encourage you still to be praying about what to give towards that. Don't forget that we're this month still collecting the WOW items for Operation Christmas Child. So want to encourage you to take the time to, when you're at the store, pick up a few things there. It's not great big things. You want things that'll fit in a shoebox, but we want some of those bigger items, the dolls, the balls, the pump to pump the ball up, those kind of little things. They have some little small hand ones that break down that will fit in a shoebox. All those kinds of things are great ideas. We do have, I believe, some of the lists around some that you can look at the list too for some suggestions of items to pick up also. And then also just want to remind you once again, our 75th anniversary is coming up on September the 28th. We have a full day that's going to be going on that day. We're going to be starting with Sunday school at our regular time at 9:15, but at about 10:15, make sure you let your teacher know you want to get out early so you can come in here to hear the Perrys. They're going to start at 10:15. Our regular online service and worship service will start at 10:30. So we'll have about 15 minutes of the Perrys. We'll start our service. Then we've got some special music from some different groups that you see there on the screen from our church. Brother Matt, the Perrys are going to come back and sing for another 15, 20 minutes, and then Brother Matt Ledbetter is going to come and give our message, and then after that, after the invitation, the Perrys are going to come and give us one more song as we dismiss to go to dinner. The dinner's catered, so I want to encourage you, invite people to come. We have figured it out where we can seat almost 175 in the fellowship hall for that. So there's going to be plenty of seating. There's going to be plenty of food for you. Come, you're going to enjoy that. After that's over, after we eat the cake and all too, we're also going to have some games and inflatables and fun outside, not just for the littles, but there's some inflatables for the adults too. So you don't have to get on it. You just have to throw something at it. So just that's a little hint there of what it's about. So you wouldn't get hurt throwing something at the inflatable. It's got some ball throws, some axe throwing. It's not a real axe. It's a foam one. So, yeah, you don't want to puncture it. So, just want to make you aware of all those things. Lots of things that are coming up for that. We have some of these cards laying around. Want to encourage you to pick up one of those. Still got a couple of signs that are on the stage up here. Grab one of those. Take it somewhere and put it up to help us advertise. It's out there on all of our social media platforms. We want to invite as many people as possible to come for that service. We really want to pack the house out for that day. And so just want to encourage you, please share all of that information there about it. And I'm thinking there's something, we're going to have a thing with the cake that morning that I believe they're going to wheel the cakes down here, where as you're coming in for Sunday school and stuff, you will get to see the decorated cakes, because they're going to have it cut for you when you go back there. It's not going to be a you serve line. You're going to go through and pick up a plate that's already got the stuff on it. You just pick the one with the kind of chicken on it that you want, and then you'll have your drink. You can go sit down, you can come back and get your dessert, or you can get your dessert then too, but it'll already be ready for you. We're trying to make it as simple as possible to flow that many people as quickly as possible through the lines and to your seat. So just a hint there, that means that that service is going to go just a little bit longer with all of that. Starting at 10:15, it's going to go till about 11:45, so about 15 minutes longer than we normally do. So that's hopefully, cross your fingers. But that just want to let you know that, so you're kind of aware of what we're coming for that day. We don't have service that evening, so you'll have, just have a wonderful time of fun here at the church that day. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Take your hymn. He's on his phone and he's preaching already. No, he just walked off the stage. Welcome, everybody. And take your hymnals, if you would, and let's turn to hymn 202. And let's sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Hymn 202. Ms. Gill, come on, stand.
At home, you've had a moment to get your prayer list downloaded there. And again, if you have any comments, any prayer requests that you want to give us there, please do that on Facebook Live. That's where we'll be watching for those. So let me just go down the list here on our Highland Baptist Church family side. It's been a little bit since we've done that. If you have any updates or any that we can take off, please stop me and let me know that. So if you would, we start with Carolyn and S.W. Stone, Arthur Hargrove, Betsy Farrell, Mark Raymond, who has some ongoing issues with his back. Continue to remember Miss Sandra Wells, Miss Jewel Farrell. I remember Bill Warren, Rick German. I remember Miss Kay Williams. Making progress, so praise the Lord for that. Remember Amy Jackson. She had a couple of rough days again this week with some coughing that she was having. They sent her to Shelbyville today to do a CT scan. Not heard back from her on any results from that, but just keep her in your prayers. It sounded real bad, almost like it was getting to the point of a pneumonia kind of cough, and so hopefully everything's good, and it's just something that will go away soon, not maybe not be pneumonia. So keep her in your prayers. Remember George Duncan in Proven. It's a, Brother Ken Tatum. He still has ups and downs. Remember Miss Diane Tatum with her hip issues. Remember Linda Miller. We say possible cancer there because she still hasn't gone yet to meet with the surgeon yet to decide what they're going to do yet. Last time I talked to her, they still hadn't done anything yet. So keep her in your prayers. That I think she was supposed to be meeting with some of them this week. Hopefully she'll know some results or know some dates of things coming up pretty soon. I remember Gordon Jackson, who's recovering at home. Miss Linda Jones has been improving really good. She was at Primetimers last week. Remember Tommy Griffin, he has his upcoming surgery on the 26th on his back, so keep him in your prayers. Miss Cindy Ingram. Okay, so she should be starting cardiac rehab this week, so keep her in your prayers. Miss Beth Kidd is still recovering at home. Jimmy Davis Lynette messaged me a while ago and said that they are home now. He is doing well. Thank you so much for the prayer. So we praise the Lord for that. And then continue to remember the family of Al Pender. We had his funeral service down in Huntsville on Monday, and so keep the family in your prayers. Any other Highland Baptist Church family that we need to add or update? Okay, I'll mention that one when I come down that list on the friends and family side. All right, on the friends and family side then, if there's no other on the Highland Baptist Church family, we have the people of Ukraine, the people of Israel, the Meredith family, who are missionaries in Moldova, Katie Jo Bailey, who has her ongoing issues with leukemia, remember Sarah Jernigan, Buddy Saunders, Mamie Thompson, Ryan Bond, remember Yvonne Ortiz, Charles Miller, Andy Taylor, Kay Goff, the Ray family, Crystal Schroyer, Cody Kohler, Barbara Prince, Mary Leibig. Miss Linda told me that she is, let me get her message here again. She said that she's doing better on the palliative care and is comfortable and relatively content. So thank you for your prayers for her, but continue to keep her in your prayers as she has palliative care. Remember Pat and Carrie Robinson, Delilah and Callahan Garmany. Both of those kids are doing better, so we'll remove those from the prayer list. I talked with Martha Brooke Hood a couple of weeks ago, and she said they had improved really good. They had some surgeries done for their hearing, and everything looks good with that. Remember Miss Virginia Counts, that's Miss Ella Thames' mother, Jimmy Hasty. We continue to remember the Music Search Committee, Jack Young, Tom Watson, Kinsley Williams, Phil Jones, Rhonda Morris, John Sakich, Ella Fanning, Holly Dean, Sherry McCulloch, who is Samantha's sister with her broken hip, John Robertson, who is the husband of one of our CDC teachers. He had bypass surgery, so keep him in your prayers, as well as Ryan Gardner, who's the parent of one of our CDC kids, who has had sepsis and several other things that were wrong with him, so keep him in your prayers. The update that we were given a while ago on Aurora Herring, remember, she's gone home, does have a cyst that they will have to do something about to remove, so just continue to keep her in your prayers and the family there, too. Randy Alexander, this is Miss Imogene's son-in-law. He's the one that had the splinter that went up in his arm. He had his surgery, is doing the rehab, doing the things with his hand, and everything seems to be going well so far. They were able to remove that completely and did the surgery there, but he still got a few weeks of rehab left with that. Also want to remember Greg Pitts. Miss Linda Smith asked me to mention him. He's doing better. He's the one that we had on here that he had surgery. Her brother, that's one of the reasons she's had to be down there so much lately. He's still recovering well, And so he had a good doctor's report today, and they said thank you so much for the prayers there. And then her sister will be taking over, Lisa, or sorry, not her sister, but Lisa, his wife, will be taking over on her rotation of caring for the mom. So just keep them in your prayers. Remember Teresa Pitts also, as she gave me that one just a little bit ago also. This is her nephew's wife, Teresa Pitts, who has a bulging disc. Her sister, Lisa, is helping her with two preschoolers and taking care of Greg, who had the surgery and all of that. So keep all of them in your prayers. And then we added last week Jerry Lee Bryant, who had the shingles on the face. So keep him in your prayers. Anybody else? Any other updates? Okay, so John Sakich is scheduled to go home. Still a ways to go there with his recovery, with all the broken bones he had, but scheduled to go home soon. Anybody else? All right, then on our nursing home assisted living list, we have Bertie Davis, Beverly Daniels, Hoyt Farrell, and Miss Mary Lee Stringfield. Any update on those or any others we need to add? I don't see any on Facebook. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer for these then, and we'll get ready to go right into our Bible study here in just a moment. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege that we have to come before your throne of grace right now. Father, we come before you and ask for you to forgive us of our sins. We ask, Lord, for you to fill us with your Spirit. We ask, Lord, for you to hear our prayers tonight. And we know for you to hear our prayers, we cannot hold on to sin in our lives. We must confess those things and come before you with clean hearts. And so, Father, I pray that's what we would do tonight. May the truth of your word shine brighter into our hearts, into the darkest places, Lord, to show us any sinful ways in our thoughts and our minds and our actions, that we might confess those things before you. Lord, sometimes we don't think about, we think about the things we do against you that we shouldn't have done, but we don't always think about the things that we should be doing that you've commanded us to do, and yet we didn't do it. And so, Father, I pray that you would forgive us for all of our sins, wash us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. We want nothing to hinder our prayers tonight, Lord. So any thoughts, any wicked ways, any deeds, Lord, that we failed to do that you've commanded us to do, cleanse us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, hear our prayers, and may our prayers be powerful, fervent, effectual. Father, I pray tonight that as we've gone through the entire list, we've read every family member from our church, every friend and family, and everyone in the nursing home. You know each person's heart and each person's life. You know the difficulties they're facing. You know the valleys they're walking through. And we just pray, God, that you will walk with them through those things, that you as the great physician would have your healing hand upon them to bring the healing they need to their bodies. And Father, we just pray that you would wrap your loving arms around them, make yourself known to them, show your power and your glory and your majesty as you bring the healing to their bodies that they so desperately need. But Father, I pray that in either case, whether you delay the healing or you bring the healing now, Father, I pray that you will be glorified and honored through their lives and through our lives. Father, we want to testify of your great and mighty hand at work in our lives and in these people. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that you will remind us that, to always be thankful for the prayers that you do answer. Lord, if we had today what we thanked you for yesterday, we probably wouldn't have a whole lot. And so, Father, I pray that we would be sure to be thanking you for those prayers. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you have already done in each one of these people. You've been working even we didn't see you working. You've been ministering to these people. You've been loving on these people even when we weren't there. And so, Father, I pray that you will continue to do that, continue to shower these individuals with your love and your grace that's sufficient for all of our needs and your mercy that none of us deserve. And, Father, I pray that you will be glorified and honored through the healings, and that it will be a testimony of the salvation that you can bring to our hearts and to our lives. And Father, I pray that ultimately, if any of these that we're praying for tonight don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as they're going through these things, Lord, I pray that you will make the gospel known to them, bring us across their path, bring others across their path to share the good news of the gospel with them, that they would at least have that opportunity once again to accept Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. And so, Father, we pray tonight that you would continue to be with our Awana group, be with our youth group, be with all the leaders in both of those wonderful programs we have going on tonight. Thank you, Lord, so much for the little ones that are growing up in the truth of your word. And Father, I thank you for about 30 kids that are here tonight. And Father, I just with the children, just them, not including the youth. And so, Father, I pray that you will just continue to ignite the fire within their hearts, to give them a passion, Lord, for you, to want to love you, to want to serve you, to want to make a difference in their schools and a difference in their homes by showing Jesus Christ in their lives. So bless them, Lord. Lead them, guide them. And be with us, Lord. Be with all the workers that are working with them. Father, I pray that you will give them a special measure of your wisdom and discernment to see those opportunities that may even come tonight to pour the gospel truths into their hearts and into their lives. So bless each one of those programs and their leaders. Father, bless us tonight here in our adult time as we go through the Word of God in the book of Isaiah in chapter 62. I pray, God, this message and this passage would speak to our hearts in the midst of what we're going through. Lord, that you would stir us, you would encourage us, you would help us, Lord, to have a confidence that when we leave this place, may we be bold in our walk with you. May we share the good news of the gospel. Lord, may we live what we talk. And Father, I pray that you'll be glorified and honored in our lives. Bless your word tonight and bless our time together. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62. While you're turning there, let me just remind you, we have our cross over here to the right. We don't emphasize it nearly enough as we should, but there have been some individuals we've been able to remove their blue card off of that cross because they accepted Christ as their Lord and their Savior. But God may be laying someone on your heart that you might want to add to that cross. Let me know. We've got some cards that you can fill out to put their name on there. But we also have these little 30-day prayer guide books. I want to encourage you to pick one of these up tonight, if the Lord so leads you to pray for your one, to pray for that individual or individuals who are on your heart for their salvation. It's got a daily devotion on one side of the page, and then it's got a little place for you to journal what you're learning from that and how you can maybe even pray for that one that you're praying for. So we have these books. If you're at home and you want one of these, please comment there on Facebook. Call the church office. We'll be glad to send you out one of those. So I just wanted to remind you about that. Well, in Isaiah 62, verse 1 down to verse 12, we're really only going to focus on three verses, but we're going to read the entire chapter because it's only 12 verses tonight. We're getting ever so close to the end. We only have four more chapters to go, and we'll be at the end of the book of Isaiah. It's been over a year that we've been going through this wonderful, wonderful book. So Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1 begins and says, "For Zion's sake," and what is Zion? Zion is Jerusalem. Zion is the mount there where the Temple Mount is. So it represents all of that, all of Jerusalem, all of it represents the nation there of Judah also. And so he says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet." And so as you begin there, you begin to see here the impassioned plea here that he's saying that I will not be quiet. I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And we were singing about that just a moment ago. And what is a diadem? It's a crown. It represents the authority of the kingdom of God, and that's what he's talking about here. And so he's talking about a crown of beauty, a royal diadem, a royal kingdom in the hand of your God. You shall be no more termed forsaken. In other words, you shall no longer be called forsaken, and your land shall be no more termed or called desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall you, your God rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All the day and all the night, they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink your wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear it of stones. Lift up a signal over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. So we're going to look first at verse 6 and 7 as those two verses are kind of the central part here. But then we're going to look at verse 12, which kind of bookends the whole chapter here of chapter 62 of the issue here of not being forsaken. So as we look at this first part, and you see in that first verse there where he says, I will not keep silent, I will not keep quiet. You ever noticed how much difference one person can make when they stay alert? You know, we just had the remembrance of September the 11th, 2001. And on the morning of September the 11th, 2001, as chaos unfolded in the skies over America, air traffic controllers were glued to their radar screens. In those moments, their vigilance saved countless lives. They didn't know which plane would be next. One man later said this, one of the air traffic controllers said, he said, every second mattered. He said, if I looked away for even a moment, I could lose 50 people, just like that. That's the image that Isaiah is using here, especially when we come to verse 6 and verse 7, and he's talking about the watchman on the walls. In Isaiah 62 here, God says he has appointed people, individuals, to stand guard over his city, not with weapons of steel, but with weapons of prayer and testimony. So you get the idea here of what he's talking about. There are physically individuals who are watchmen on the physical wall, but he's also talking about here, using that as an illustration, as kind of an allegory there to show us that spiritually we are to be watchmen on the wall, watchmen of prayer, praying in the battle, and not only using our weapons of prayer, but the weapon of testimony. Their calling, these watchmen's calling, is to stay awake. Their calling is to lift their voices. When the enemy's coming, to lift their voices, to cry out day and night until God fulfills his promises. And so just as we're seeing that, we see that happens in our life, God has placed us on the walls of this generation. He has given us the responsibility of standing in the gap, of standing in prayer and sounding the alarm of the truth of his word, of testifying to the truth of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon rightly said that this passage is for us today. The church is God's Jerusalem. He has placed us on the walls of this generation. Every generation of believers faces the same question. Will we take seriously God's call to be people of prayer and testimony? And just like the watchman physically on the wall, just like a watchman couldn't afford to nap or be distracted, we cannot afford to do that spiritually either. The world is too dark a place. Eternity is too real, and the gospel is too urgent. And so for this passage in Isaiah 62, I want to show you three things from this passage tonight. The first is the calling of the watchman. And my prayer is that we're going to leave tonight not only informed, but on fire, ignited again to take our place on the wall and to give God no rest until he makes his church a praise in all the earth. This is written, this chapter is written, when Jerusalem is at a place in their history where they're broken and they're vulnerable. And yet in that weakness, God calls these individuals to stand as watchmen, to be alert in prayer, steadfast in testimony, relentless in intercession until his promises come to pass. So notice the calling of the watchmen, the calling of the watchmen. It begins there in verse 6, in the beginning of verse 6, when he says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen." Now, we've already talked a little bit about it, but let's go a little bit deeper here about the role of the watchman. In the ancient cities there, the watchmen were the first line of defense. If you didn't have watchmen on the wall, think of this. You couldn't see over these walls. If this was all open here, you couldn't see if there was an enemy outside the city. You had to have people up on the towers, up on the ramparts there, upon the walkways to watch and to look for things that would be happening. And so that's what they would do. They were the first line of defense. If his eyes ever left the horizon, they were in trouble. He couldn't afford distraction. He couldn't afford to be drowsy because the safety of the city depended on him. And God says, "I have set watchmen." What's that tell us? That tells us, first of all, that they're not self-appointed volunteers. They are divinely appointed servants. In our day, those watchmen are faithful believers who guard through prayer, who speak the truth of the gospel, who remain vigilant against the enemy's schemes. You know, that day of September the 11th, there were many those air traffic controllers faced the most harrowing days of their careers when they realized that Flight 11 had been hijacked, those that were working in Boston. One of the flight controllers there, his voice grew urgent as he instructed nearby planes, change course immediately. In minutes, controllers across the Northeast had to clear the skies of thousands of planes. Every second mattered. And every second matters for us as believers today. That's what the watchman does. He's to be alert. He's to be focused. He's to be standing in the gap to protect others. You know, one of the first places in our lives as believers that you are called to be a watchman is in your family. You ought to be praying for your family. You ought to be praying for the church. You ought to be praying for your workplace. You ought to be praying for our community, for our city. And that's what he has done. He has stationed us on those walls of our families and churches and workplaces and communities. We are spiritual watchmen. And souls around us are in danger every single day. There ought to be an urgency within our hearts to want to see those people come to faith in Christ. That's one of the reasons we're emphasizing this little book here and the cards over here on this cross, is because this is where it starts. It starts in prayer. We've already went through the book of Ephesians and looked at the spiritual armor. And one of the, besides the word of God being the sword of the spirit, the next great weapon you have is prayer. Because prayer calls on the power of God to change a person's heart, to change their soul. And so we need to keep watch and sound the alarm where eternity is at stake. So you see the call there. We have been called to be watchmen, watchmen in our families, watchmen in the church, watchmen in our cities and in our nation. The second thing you see comes in the second half of verse 6 over into verse 7, and that's the command to persevere in prayer. Now think about your prayers for just a moment. Think about when you pray. When do you pray? You pray before meals? Pray when you get up in the morning, maybe? Maybe. You pray when you go to sleep at night? Maybe. You know, so often our prayers are inconsistent. We're not consistent in our prayers. And that's what he's talking about here in this part, is being consistent, persevering, even when things are going bad. to keep on praying. When it seems like the prayer is not getting answered the way you think it ought to be answered. So notice the remainder here of verse 6 and verse 7. He says, all the day and all the night they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest. So who's he talking about here in verse 6 and verse 7? All the day and all the night they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest. Who are the they and the you in those two verses? It's the watchman. It's us. It's the believers. And so he's saying here some things that we need to do. We need to be persistent in our prayers. So this call that he's giving here is not for an occasional prayer. This little prayer guide here is for 30 days. It's to be consistent day after day after day praying for that individual. So it's not a call to an occasional prayer. It's a call to a persistent prayer, day and night, steady, unbroken. Paul says it this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, one of the shortest verses, not the shortest, but one of the shortest in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that says, pray without ceasing. That's what we're to be doing, praying without ceasing. Be persistent in our prayers. Persevere in our prayers. And so Isaiah's language is bold. Notice what he says to the watchman. He says, you who call on the name of the Lord, you who are calling on God, he says, you who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest. What he's talking about there is a holy perseverance. It's kind of like your child. When you have a child who comes up to you and they're tugging on your jacket or they're pulling on your shirt or they're pulling on your hand and they're wanting to get your attention, they don't stop, do they? They keep on doing it. It don't matter what you're doing, who you're talking to or whatever. You teach your kids and you try to teach your kids, don't interrupt, give me a minute, I'll get to you, those kind of things. But they keep on. They don't understand that. And that's what he's talking about. That's the kind of perseverance we need to have, like a child tugging at a father's sleeve until that father responds. Jesus even gave an illustration of that. He praised this persistent prayer in a parable that he gave of the persistent woman, the widow, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through verse 8. Let me read that parable to you. It says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Keep on praying. Don't give up. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him. And when you look at the Greek word there, here's your little Greek language lesson for the night. That little Greek word that's given there when it says that she kept coming to him is an ongoing action. It's not a one-time thing that she came to him and then left. It's a consistent, she keeps coming, and she keeps coming, and she keeps coming, and she keeps coming, and it's wearing him down. And she kept saying, give me justice against my adversary. And he says in verse 4, for a while he refused. For a while he's okay with it. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Now that's what an ungodly, lost man is saying. I don't fear God. I don't fear respect man. But this woman keeps on bothering me, and so that she don't keep beating me down because of her continual coming, I'm going to give her justice. And the Lord Jesus said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God, understand, God is righteous, and God does care, and God does love, and will not God give justice to his elect who do what? Who cry to him day and night. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? What an illustration Jesus uses to show us about perseverance in prayer. George Whitefield, you ever heard of George Whitefield? He was the 18th century evangelist. He exemplified this. Before he would get up to preach, he would spend hours on his knees pleading before God. In his journal, he described nights where he wrestled in prayer all the way till the sun came up in the morning. He was praying with tears that God would save souls. And once after an exhausting night of intercession, of praying, he preached in the open air to a crowd of 20,000 people. And eyewitnesses said this about that occasion when he preached to those 20,000 people. They said people wept, people trembled, people fell to their knees crying out to God. Historians estimate that Whitfield preached to millions across Britain and America. But the secret wasn't in his eloquence, wasn't in his preaching, in the way he preached, in the style he preached. It was his persistence in prayer. He gave God no rest for the salvation of souls. And God answers. Maybe one of the most famous examples of persistent prayer is a lady by the name of Monica. She was the mother of Augustine. Augustine was brilliant, but he was also rebellious. He chased after immortality. He dabbled in false religions. He resisted the gospel. For over 17 years, his mother Monica prayed for him. Often she was in tears. She prayed for her son's salvation, and she refused to give God rest. At one point, she went to a bishop. She was brokenhearted, and she begged him to talk to Augustine. The bishop told her, "The child of so many tears cannot perish." And Monica clung on to that hope. Years later, Augustine was reading the book of Romans. He was reading Romans chapter 13 in particular, and in particular verse 13 and verse 14. And when he read those two verses, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was convicted of his sin, and he was converted after reading those two verses, Romans 13, 13 and 14. He became one of the greatest theologians in Christian history, shaping the church for centuries. His story is not just of his brilliance, but of his mother's relentless prayers. She lived Isaiah 62. She gave no rest to God. Let me give you one more illustration about this persistence, because I think this is one of the things we need to get in our hearts about prayer, especially because we're so often so inconsistent in our prayers. In South Korea, beginning in the mid-20th century, believers began gathering on what they called prayer mountains. These were retreat centers in the hills where men and women would spend entire nights, sometimes days, in small huts, and they would be crying out to God day after day. They would cry out through the night with loud, passionate voices. And one out of that culture of prayer, South Korea experienced one of the most remarkable revivals of the modern era. The nation went from being a largely unreached nation with the gospel to sending more missionaries overseas than almost any other country. Churches multiplied. Seminaries were founded. Countless lives were transformed. Why? Because the watchmen on Korea's walls refused to be silent. They gave no rest, and God established his people as a people of praise in the earth. There's another thing, a third thing we want to see from verse 7, the promise of God's establishment. Notice how long you're to do this. How long are you not to give him rest? Until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. You just keep on praying till God's goal for his people is completed. You see, God's aim is not just to answer prayers, but it's to glorify his name. He will establish his church as a testimony of grace and power. Maybe one of the most striking examples of that is the Moravian prayer movement that happened in 1727 in a small community in Hernach, Germany. There was a group of believers who committed themselves to prayer. They organized around-the-clock intercession, with men and women taking an hour each, and maybe you've done that before in a time of prayer. That prayer chain continued day and night, get this, for over 100 years. What was the fruit of that? Missionaries were sent all over the world. They were sent to the Caribbean, they were sent to Greenland, they were sent to North and South America, to Africa, to Asia. When John Wesley encountered the Moravians on a ship during a storm, their peace and their devotion stirred him deeply. It prepared him for his own conversion, which later fueled the Methodist revival. The Moravians were not a wealthy people. They were not an influential people. They were not a powerful people in worldly terms, but their prayers shook the nations. They lived, Isaiah 62. They gave no rest to God until he came, till he made his church a praise on the earth. So understand, God's promise is sure in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, where Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The question is, will we take our place on the walls? Will we be faithful watchmen and women on the wall for God? This is a call to us to be watchmen, to pray persistently, to testify faithfully, to trust his promise to establish his church. It's not just a call for something that happened in Israel long ago. It's a call to us today to pray without ceasing, to testify without shame, to persevere without stopping. You think about those stories that I shared there with you. And all of those examples, none of those, George Whitfield, Monica, who was Augustine's mom, those believers in Korea, the Moravians, none of them knew at the time the full impact of their prayers and what they would make. You never know what your prayers, the impact your prayers are going to make. And we're living fruit of their persistence. And now it's our turn. God has placed us on the walls of our family and our workplace and our neighborhood and this church. And you may feel small, but your prayers shake heaven. You may feel unheard, but God listens. You may feel tired, but he invites you, give me no rest until I establish my people. Charles Spurgeon once said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. Imagine what would happen if the church today across America were committed to pray with that kind of holy persistence. Imagine what God could do in our families if we were just persistent and consistent in our prayers. Imagine what God could do in our city and this nation if we gave him no rest. We ought not to be found asleep on the walls. Be faithful watchmen until the day Jesus Christ comes again. We need to be, as Charles Spurgeon also once said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them have to leap to hell over our bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let not one go unwarned or unprayed for. That's the spirit of a true watchman. Question is, are we still awake? Will we give God no rest for our children? Then he wraps it up in verse 12. He says, and they shall be called the holy people. He's talking about Zion and Jerusalem. He's talking about his chosen people. He's talking about us also. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Understand that God does not abandon us. God does not abandon us. That's the fourth thing for us to see here tonight. You ever been lost before? I don't mean just taking a wrong turn on a highway. I mean truly lost. I read a story about a little girl who wandered away from her family on a camping trip, and nightfall came, and she realized she didn't know where she was. Could you just imagine the fear in her heart? The cold is creeping in. The sounds of the forest are echoing in her ears, and every little sound, you're thinking, what in the world is that? And the thought that maybe nobody would find her. But the moment that her parents discovered she was missing, they didn't wait around. They organized a search party. They lit torches. They called her name. They refused to stop until she was safe in their arms again. That's a picture of how God deals with us. He does not abandon us. We may not have been lost in the woods, but we've been lost in sin, lost in shame, lost in brokenness. And so Isaiah 62 verse 12 tells us something remarkable here, that God does not abandon us in our lostness. He seeks us out. He calls us his redeemed. He calls us his holy people, his city not forsaken. Now understand, you may have come here tonight, you may be watching online tonight, and you may be feeling overlooked, you may be feeling forgotten, you may be feeling unworthy, but God has a message for you. You are sought out, you are not forsaken, you are deeply loved. And that's what we're going to see in this verse. He says that God seeks us because he loves us. The redeemed of the Lord sought out. What an awesome truth that is. God doesn't just tolerate you. He seeks you. He pursues you. Even though he knows you. And you know who you are. You know what kind of person you are. I mean, think of the way that Jesus described God's love in Luke 15. He told three parables there. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. And in every one of those stories, something valuable was missing. Someone went searching. And the shepherd left 99 sheep to find the one. The woman swept the house until she found the coin. And the father kept looking out over the horizon, waiting for his son to come home. That's how God feels about us. He doesn't wait passively for us to stumble into his presence. He comes after you. He seeks you out because you are precious to him. And you may feel unworthy. You may look at your past and you may say, God couldn't want me. The Israelites at this point in this time in their lives, in their weakness and in their discouragement in this time in their life, they would have felt that. God doesn't want me. What could he possibly want us for? We turned our backs on him. We sinned against him. But the truth of Isaiah 62 is that he does want you. He seeks you out, not because of what you do, not because of your performance, but because of his love. He also seeks us because we're lost without him. Why does God seek us? Because without him, we are hopelessly lost. Someone once said that the sinner never seeks God first. God seeks the sinner. And that's the reality. On our own, we don't drift towards God. We drift away from God. Sin blinds us. It distracts us. It deceives us. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 describes our condition outside of Christ. It says we are separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of sinners, commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But Isaiah says, you shall be called, sought out. God takes the initiative. He doesn't leave us wandering in the wilderness of sin. He comes to find us. He never stops searching for us until he finds us. And then thirdly, God seeks to give us a new identity. Notice what Isaiah says here. He says that he's going to give you a new name. And he says, and they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. When God seeks us out, notice this, he doesn't just forgive us of our sin and leave us as we are. He gives us a brand new name, a brand new identity. Once you were lost in your sin, now you are saved in Christ. Once you were blind, but now you can see. There's a transformation that ought to happen in our lives as believers. You may have lived your whole life under labels like failure and disappointment and addict or abandoned, but when God redeems you, he gives you a new name. Redeemed. You're redeemed. He gives you a new name. He says, you're holy. And you look at yourself and think, I'm not holy. He sought you out. That's another name he gives you. Not forsaken. You see, understand this, your past to God does not define you. God does. You're not forgotten. You're not overlooked. You're not cast aside by him. You are sought out, chosen, loved by the creator of this universe. God seeks us so we can belong to his family. Isaiah uses the imagery there of a city not forsaken. That's the last phrase that he uses there. You see, a city is a place to belong. It's a place of community. It's a place of identity. And that's what God invites us to do when he invites us to personal salvation. It's about belonging to the family of God. It's about knowing that you're never alone. Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families. When God seeks you out, he places you in a spiritual family so you can grow, so you can serve, so you can experience his love together with others. So let me ask you tonight, do you see yourself as sought out? Maybe you feel like you're invisible. Maybe you feel like nobody cares. But here's what I want you to know. God does. He has called you by name. He has sought you out. And if you will trust in him, he will redeem you and he will give you a new identity in Christ. If you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is still seeking you. He is still knocking on the door of your heart right now, this very moment. Don't resist him. Don't believe the lie that you're not worth it. You are worth the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, or he would have never died on the cross for you. You are sought out. You're not forsaken. What an encouraging message that Isaiah is bringing to the people of Israel as they're coming out of this exile, as they're feeling lonely, abandoned, alone. And he reminds them, God has not forsaken you. You're a city not forsaken. He's not abandoned you. He's seeking you out. Yes, you've sinned, but when you come to faith in Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ redeems you, and you become the redeemed of the Lord, a holy people. What an encouragement for us that that's what happens in our lives when we trust by faith in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you never leave us lost or wandering. Thank you, Lord, for seeking us out when we were far from you. Thank you, Lord, for calling us by a new name and for giving us a place in your family that we're sons and daughters of the King. Help us, Lord, to rest in the truth that we are loved by you. We are redeemed by you. We are never forsaken. And Lord, for anybody who's listening here tonight or even online, Lord, who maybe feels overlooked or forgotten, Lord, draw them near to you. Remind them, Lord, that you have sought them out through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are calling them to come home. And thank you, Lord, for calling us as believers to be watchmen on the walls of your church. Lord, forgive us for our inconsistencies in our prayers, or even for our prayerlessness, for being distracted. And Lord, forgive us for remaining silent in our prayers. Lord, stir in us a boldness, the boldness of Whitfield, the persistence of Monica, Augustine's mother, or the passion of those Korean believers, or the faithfulness of those Moravians. Lord, teach us to pray as this passage taught us tonight, until you move. Let us not let you rest until you answer, bringing souls into the kingdom. Lord, to witness until you save, to persevere until Christ is exalted among the nations. Make your church a praise in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. Hope that was a blessing for you as it was for me. Couldn't wait to preach that one tonight, chapter 62. There's still so much more in these last four chapters that we're going to look at over the next month. But just want to thank you so much for joining with us there online. We'll be back again Sunday, regular times, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. Pastor Matt will be sharing the message Sunday morning. We have our business meeting Sunday night. So you come, you'll receive a wonderful blessing for that. Keep us in your prayers as we're traveling and out of country this coming week. But you have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you this coming Sunday.